talking about the Vaishnavas and the glories, and so they ask him, who is a Vaishnava? He said, anyone who has chanted Hare Krishna even once is a Vaishnava. So we should respect all devotees, and we should try to keep chanting. It doesn't mean, okay, I chanted once and now I don't have to do anything else. That's a sahajya. We find that in many different religions, and many different bogus people coming and telling people all they have to do is get touched by this person, or right, go to this place one time in their life or something. But those things are all good, but they're all meant to give us energy to do more. So the first verse of chapter 18, the perfection of renunciation, is Arjuna Vacha, sanyas yasya mahabaho tatvam ichchami veditam tagasya cha rishikesha pritakeshi nishudana. Arjuna said, O mighty armed one, I wish to understand the purpose of renunciation, tyaga, and of the renounced order of life, sannyas. O killer of the Keshi demon, master of the senses. So you give a few different names of Krishna. Mighty armed, Rishi Kesha. Rishi means the senses, and Rishika means the senses, and Isha means the master. Generally means the Supreme Lord, but we say Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is Param Ishvara. There's many Ishvaras. Everyone is an Ishvara of something, you know, and thinking that they're the Lord of something. It's all false. So he calls them Rishikesha, master of the senses, and Keshi Nishudana. He killed the Keshi demon. Keshi was the last demon that came to Vrindavan to try to kill Krishna in the form of a giant horse. He was frightening everyone and tried to, you know, like horses try to smash with their hooves, you know. And Krishna just stuck his hand up the horse's mouth. The horse is generally controlled by something in the mouth, and his hand became very big and very hot, and he just threw that horse down. And he was a young boy. Keshi represented a pride of particularly thinking, I'm the best devotee. That anartha. It's a foolish mentality that we get. But simply by hearing about Krishna killing these demons that represent these different bad qualities, then we can become purified of those bad qualities. So that's why we try to get people to take that Krishna book and read it, because it's everything just by reading it. By hearing about all Krishna's, especially in Vrindavan, killing the demons, you accomplish things that might take somebody millions of years of trying to reform themselves, do good works and all kinds of things. Purport. Actually, the Bhagavad Gita is finished in 17 chapters. The 18th chapter is a supplementary summarization of the topics discussed before. In every chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna stresses that devotional service under the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of life. This same point is summarized in the 18th chapter as the most confidential path of knowledge. In the first six chapters, stress was given to devotional service. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatein antaratram shadavak yojate yoma yome bhakta. That of all the yogis, one who always thinks of me within himself is the best. That's the last verse of the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Somebody was telling me the other day that they had the Bhagavad Gita of so-and-so yogi. His Bhagavad Gita only goes up to six chapters. She said, oh yeah, he's done more, but they won't publish it till he dies or something. Because the first six chapters, Krishna doesn't mention himself, and he doesn't mention bhakti so much, a little bit. He talks about all the other kinds of yoga. It's introductory. And so some of those Mayavadis are afraid to, you know, get into the rest of the Bhagavad Gita. In this next 6 chapters, pure devotional service and its nature and activity were discussed. In the third 6 chapters, knowledge, renunciation, the activities of material nature, transcendental nature, and devotional service were described. It was concluded that all acts should be performed in conjunction with the Supreme Lord, represented by the words Om Tat Sat, which indicate Vishnu, the Supreme Person. The third part of Bhagavad Gita has shown that devotional service and nothing else is the ultimate purpose of life. This is established by citing past acharyas and the Brahma Sutra, the Vedanta Sutra, the same thing, different names. Certain impersonalists consider themselves to have a monopoly on the knowledge of Vedanta Sutra. But actually, the Vedanta Sutra is meant for understanding devotional service for the Lord Himself, because the Lord Himself is the composer of the Vedanta Sutra. Krishna says, Vedanta Vit, Veda Vit, Veda Chaham. That I am the compiler of the Vedas, and I am the knower of the Vedas, and by the Vedas I am to be known. For the Lord Himself composed the Vedanta, and He is its knower. That is described in the 15th chapter. In every scripture, every Veda, devotional service is the objective. That is described as in the 2nd chapter, a synopsis of the whole subject matter was described. In the 18th chapter, also the summary of all instructions is given. The purpose of life is indicated to be renunciation and attainment of the transcendental position above the 3 material modes of nature. Arjuna wants to clarify the 2 distinct subject matters of Bhagavad Gita, namely renunciation, tyaga, and the renounced order of life, sannyas. Thus he is asking the meaning of these 2 words. 2 words used in this verse to address the Lord, Rishikesha and Keshi Nishudana, are significant. Krishna is the master of all senses, who can always help us to attain mental serenity. Arjuna requests him to summarize everything in such a way that he can remain equipoised. Yet he has done some doubts, and doubts are always compared to demons. He therefore addresses Krishna as Keshi Nishudana. Keshi was the most formidable demon who was killed by the Lord. Now Arjuna is expecting Krishna to kill the demon of doubt. Another place Arjuna says that I have doubts, and only you, Krishna, can destroy these doubts, because Krishna killed so many demons. He says these doubts are like demons. So we doubt, how is it that I live forever? How can I be responsible for my miserable condition? It must be someone else's fault. You know, if there's God, the atheists say, if there's God, then why is there bad trouble in the world? That if God is good, there'd be no suffering. Right? Of course, in the spiritual world, it's like that, but somehow or other, some of us are rebellious and we leave the spiritual world, but then we have to come to the material world, which is full. We're trying to be the controller and the enjoyer, but we're not very good at controlling things and arranging things, so everything is a big mess. And then everybody's suffering and enjoying. And the only enjoyment in the material world is when there's some relief from suffering. Right? Like if we are hungry, then we eat. And we feel happy. Right? We're not hungry for a little while. Then if we are thirsty and we drink, then we feel, oh, that's very nice. But then we have to relieve ourselves of what we ate and drank, and then that causes distress. And then when we get relief, we think, oh, great, so happy now, right? And on and on and on. So then we wonder, well, how could it be in the spiritual world, if there's no misery, how can you be happy? Right? There has to be both, right? So it's not very inconceivable. When I lived in, when I was young in America, it's extremely cold winter. 30 below zero, 40 below zero. And it's not that cold anymore, but it used to be. 2 meters of snow, you know. And so, you know, and in those days, we had so much trouble getting the car started in the morning, and, you know, and things like that. Always shoveling snow and, you know, so many things, and so expensive to live in the winter. And one of the people that live there, of course, think this is what makes life interesting, and it would be really boring to live in a nice place, you know, where it's always good weather. There's no challenge and no relief from suffering. But that's the nature of the material world. Dualities. I'm too hot, so I get in the air condition and I'm happy. I'm too cold, I get in the heat and I'm happy. I'm lusty and I get something and I'm happy. So that's not real happiness. That's just that's all temporary. Real happiness, the nature of the soul is blissful. So Arjuna is asking about tyaga and sannyas. Tyaga means renunciation, but it's a particular kind. There's a saying, boga tyaga. Boga means enjoyment. So we try to enjoy, you know, we try to enjoy something and then it becomes not enjoyable, so we give it up. Right? I don't know, when I used to, sometimes a person's intoxicated. At a certain point, you know, even someone offers them more. No, I don't. I'm happy. I don't need it. For a little while, I gave it up. You know, a person, you know, just ate and you're full, and someone offers you a very nice meal. I don't need it. I don't care about eating. That's one version. Tyaga, you know. So people do that. They, you know, they work very hard for something and then they give it up. But then they want it again after. Boga tyaga. It's not exactly real renunciation, but giving up something. And then he's asking about sannyas, which is Krishna describes not exactly as a and we'll read a couple more verses. It's not just some position, but Krishna's describing the real essence of, you know, what it means. Sannyasi is supposed to be giving up material life, dedicating everything to Krishna. So this chapter goes over and summarizes the whole Bhagavad Gita in a few verses of time. It's quite a nice chapter. So number two, Krishna says, giving up of activities that are based on material desires is what great learned men call the renounced order of life, sannyas. And giving up the results of activities is what the wise call renunciation, tyaga. But that's another side of tyaga. Giving up the results of one's activities. That's also renunciation. Like some people do volunteer work and they don't get anything. Maybe they get some handshake or a few people appreciate it. Sometimes nobody knows about it. So they're giving up the results. Or they get some profit, but they give it to charity. The performance of activities for results has to be given up. That is the instruction of Bhagavad Gita. But activities leading to advanced spiritual knowledge are not to be given up. This will be made clear in the next verses. In the Vedic literature, there are many prescriptions of methods for performing sacrifice. That means yajna, In English, we have kind of the word sacrifice doesn't really sound very good to most people, does it? Yeah, it's like when you hear sacrificial fire or something, you think you have to throw your baby in the fire, you have to, you know, give up everything. It really, in, even in English, it means something like to make sacred. Or you give up your own profit for the sake of something else. You know, so the team can win or something. I don't know. Here, I don't know how cricket works in America. They have that baseball. So sometimes they call it a sacrifice. The guy will, he'll go out, but it'll, because he's distracted going out, someone else can move ahead. You know, instead of trying to be glorious himself, it's called a sacrifice. So jagya means to do things for Krishna. That's all it means. But it's translated as sacrifice. So like, the Old Testament talks a lot about sacrifice, and of course there are some sacrifices even in the Vedas which are cruel. But generally it just means giving up something, you know, for a higher cause. Like in the Bible it says that the first harvest, the first day, you should give to the temple. You know, whatever you collect the first day of your harvest. That's a sacrifice. You know, it's not like you don't get anything, but you give some percentage, you give something. You do it for someone else's benefit. You're not working just for your own sense gratification. That's renunciation. In the Vedic literature, there are many prescriptions. There are certain sacrifices to perform to attain a good sun or to attain elevation to heavenly planets, but sacrifices prompted by desire should be stopped. However, sacrifice for the purification of one's heart or advancement in the spiritual science should not be given up. So what, there are many different kinds of yajnas that are described throughout the different Vedas. Many of them are for specifically for material gain. To get rich, to get a good wife, to get a good child, to get this, to get that. That should be given up. But the, what is the Maha Yajna? No. For this age? Huh? What's the jagya for this age? Sankirtan. That's the only really effective jagya in this Kali Yuga. And that jagya is not to be compared to any other material jagya. It's for Krishna's pleasure. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Bhagavatam describes Lord Chaitanya. Krishna Varna Kusha Twish A Krishna is always chanting Krishna. Krishna Varna Twish means color. The color is not the same as Krishna. Krishna is blackish color, but Lord Chaitanya is golden color. Krishna Varna Twish A Krishna Sango Pangasa Parshadam. The weapons, like all the other incarnations of Krishna, have weapons. Ramachandra had especially bow and arrows. Lord Nrsingadeva had his teeth and nails. Varaha had a club, but he also had his hoof. Parashuram had the big axe. And Krishna had weapons. He had his disc and bows. Balaram had his club and his plow. And Lord Chaitanya's weapons are his associates, particularly the Panchatattva, but all the devotees. Those were his weapons to fight the ignorance of Kali Yuga. So, Sango Panga Saparshadam. Yagyaya Sankirtana Prayer. The Yagya is a Sankirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Now, many yajnas, like in previous ages, they were very, very costly. Only kings could do them. they can't be done in this age properly. The mantras have to be, these yajnas for manipulating the material energy have to be done perfectly. Not one, the slightest mistake will create a completely different result. Just mispronouncing one syllable or, you know, anything like that. Not only the syllable, but the meter and the rhythm and the tone and everything. But the Mahajagya, or the Namjagya, is not like that. It doesn't depend on material expertise. Krishna knows the heart. So anyone who's chanting the holy name can get the results. It is the supreme Jagya for this age. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, among Jagyas I am Japa. Yajnosmi Japo. Japosmi Yajyoham. Among sacrifices I am Japa. Chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So that's what we want. Yajnai Sankirtana Prayer, Yajanti Hi Sumedasaha. Medas means the brain, and Su means good. So those who have good brain, they will join the Sankirtan, according to Srimad Bhagavatam. So the devotees who are coming here and visiting, they're joining the Sankirtan movement. Many are trying to distribute some books even, go on Harinam, or tell someone about Krishna. That's Lord Chaitanya's movement. And chanting, that is our jagya. And it is the most effective, the only really effective jagya in this age. And anyway, even if we could do some material jagya perfectly, there's no real benefit in that, just to go to the heavenly planet or just to get rich, you know, because you can't really change your destiny anyway, what we've created from our past life. We might be able to do something, but the spiritual advancement does not depend on karma, does not depend on your palm or your stars or any of those things. It depends on how much we try to surrender to Krishna. Other things, if it's not your karma, no matter how nicely you do the jagya, it's not going to work. Maybe in the next life something will happen. But then you'll also be entangled with all the other things. So it's much better to just depend on Krishna and do our work, whatever our duty is in this world. But the purpose of doing it is so that we can perform the Sankirtan Jagya, so that we can come after work to the temple and chant Hare Krishna, or go home and chant, or go home and invite people to your house, or go out and give some books, and something. Do some Sankirtan Jagya, distribute prasadam. Okay, number three. Some learned men declare that all kinds of fruitive activity should be given up as faulty. Yet others maintain that acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance should never be abandoned. Purport. There are many activities in the Vedic literature which are subject of contention. For instance, it is said that animals can be killed in a sacrifice, yet some maintain that animal killing is completely abominable. Although animal killing and a sacrifice is recommended in the Vedic literature, the animal is not considered to be killed. The sacrifice is to give the new life to the animal. Sometimes the animal is given a new animal life after being killed in the sacrifice. Sometimes he's promoted immediately to human. But there are different opinions among the sages. Some say that animal killing should always be avoided, and others say that for a specific sacrifice it is good. All these different opinions are now being clarified by the Supreme Lord Himself. So that's just people disagree. In Kali Yuga, though, all animal sacrifices are condemned. In previous ages, there was some. And in order for them to be performed, the brahmanas have to be extremely pure, and the animals have to be coming from certain places in certain ways, and so many things that nobody can do now. The jagya for this age is, and even in other ages, the animal sacrifices were not the best thing. But if they were done properly, that soul would be rejuvenated and get another better body. But we don't do that. Even now, some religions claim to be killing the animals, like in a sacrifice. We won't mention the names of those religions, but even in the Vedas, even in the Bible, in the beginning it says, you know, the herbs and things will be your food, but then gradually there's animal sacrifices come in. But within, there were very specifically how they're supposed to be done. Like the Muslim one, it could only be done by the priest, and only once a month or something kill the animal, and only right near the mosque, and only in a certain way, and with all kinds of prayers and all kinds of things. But now the priests just go to the slaughterhouse and watch. Say, okay, you know, it's all whatever they call it, you know, right? The different religions, they have some name for the meat that's supposed to be blessed, and it was killed in a certain way. But that's not at all proper. It's not at all according to even their own scriptures. So Lord Chaitanya's movement is to protect everyone and to protect all the animals, protect the people, all the citizens. So that's why we want to spread the Sankirtan movement to purify everyone. People are bewildered. They don't know what to do, they don't know what not to do. But when they hear the holy name, they get attracted and they'll get purified. Another next verse, Krishna's finishing up. Now hear my judgment about renunciation. O tiger among men, renunciation is declared in the scripture to be of three kinds. Report, although there are differences of opinion about renunciation, here the Lord, Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, gives his judgment, which should be taken as final. After this, the Vedas are different laws given by the Lord. Here the Lord is personally present, and his word should be taken as final. The Lord says that the process of renunciation should be considered in terms of the modes of material nature in which they are performed. Acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance should not be given up. They must be performed. Sacrifice, charity, and penance purify even the great souls. But then, as we go on, Krishna describes what kind of acts of charity and how, you know, what in the mode of nature, in the mode of goodness, mode of passion, you know, and a lot of descriptions. Sacrifice in the mode of passion, sacrifice in the mode of ignorance, sacrifice in the mode of goodness, and then transcendental. Same thing, charity. Not that you just give charity to any drug addict. Then he buys drugs, and then you get also implicated. You want to give charity to proper people, proper time, and proper place, and it benefits everyone. All right, any questions? Make it a little more lively, yes, sir. For chanting? Anytime is the right time. For chanting, there's
chanting.
Well, the best charity is to give to Krishna. So anytime is right. If you're giving to the devotees, giving to Krishna, anytime is right. Otherwise, you know, there's so many complications in the material. You know, someone might get an astrologer and try to calculate the most auspicious time and place and all these things. That's why it's just recommended to do everything for Krishna, and then there's no problem. And like for the yogi, there's auspicious and inauspicious times to leave the body. You know, then they choose. But for a devotee, you don't have to worry. Anytime. As long as you're always chanting Krishna and trying to serve Krishna. any time is good. Right? So any time is a good time to go to the temple. Any time is the right time to chant. Any time is the right time to give donations to for the service of Krishna. Alright? Otherwise, I don't know how to calculate all the other tricky things. I wouldn't want to bother with it. Any other question? Yes, sir.
Sacrifice, when you sacrifice, do you,
I have
some confusion about understanding sacrifice for people and love, and sacrifice
for Krishna. Well, you sacrifice your own pleasure for the sake of someone else. Let's see what it says. See, Krishna goes on and on, like, explaining this, and they just go to sacrifice. Hare Krishna. Action, that action which is regulated, which is performed without attachment, without love or hatred, without desire for fruited results, is in the mode of goodness. And that's what we're seeking. But when it's for Krishna, then it's beyond the, any of the modes. So the word that's translated as sacrifice is yajna. And yajna means, you know, for Krishna. That we're doing things for Krishna. And then it's always good. And then, of course, when you give to Krishna, the pure devotee doesn't want anything in return from Krishna. But Krishna gives much more than you can give him. And you can't stop him from doing it. Like the gopis, they don't want, but Krishna gives them millions of times more pleasure than he's giving himself. And that's how it is with Krishna. Alright? So we do the Sankirtan Yajna, which means chanting of the holy name. When you're chanting at home, you're chanting at the temple, you're chanting publicly, it's all the Sankirtan Yajna. It's especially effective when we share it, try to give it with the others. That's why we open temples, that's why we go up and down the street. You know, that's why we make recordings and distribute them, that's why we do all these things. Because it's Lord Chaitanya's movement is to help the world. So many people want to make the world better. You know, they're worried about the climate change, but the root cause of that is all the animal slaughter and all the, you know, sinful activities of Kali Yuga. So they have to get down to the root. No amount of blood. Stopping a new runway on Heathrow is not going to change the climate. You know, it might preserve a few farms, right? Maybe, I don't know what's out there, but it's not going to change the climate. You know, their intentions are good. But getting people to give up, you know, illicit activities and chant Hare Krishna, that will do something. Because the demigods control. When there's yajna, then that makes things proper. But there's no yajna now, so the demigods are not, you know, working things properly. The nature is reacting violently to all the disruptions that the human beings are making on the earth. Taking all the oil out, putting it in the hair, right? Screwing up everything. Cutting down all the trees, polluting all the water. Any other question?
What makes
Yeah.
What makes devotion
between sannyasa and jagan?
Yeah.
That's what Krishna said. That. Giving up all activities which are based on material desire is sannyas, and giving up the results of activities is tyag. So the tyagi is still doing the material activities, but he's giving up the results to some extent. But the sannyas is supposed to be to stop the material activity. That's real sannyas. And Krishna says it's not one who performs no work, but one who is doing everything for Krishna. So that's the first step, you know, that someone is doing material activity, but they give up the results, or at least some of the results, and gradually they can give up the activities. But some people have, like one guy told me once, that I am completely renounced. He said, I give everything to my wife and children. I work, but I don't take anything for myself. Right? That's very clever, but the wife and children are his pleasure. That's, they give him all his sense gratification. Right? So the house is for them, and you know, everything is for them, but then the wife is serving him, cooking him, giving him sex, giving him more children. And the children hopefully are doing good in school and everything and making him happy. Not always the case, but that's what we expect. That's not really renounced.
So,
any other question?
Sorry, just for my own understanding.
Huh?
Just for my own understanding. So, tyag is a step towards sannyas.
Is what?
Tyag.
Yeah, according, it sounds like it would be a step towards sannyas. Yeah. If you give up the results of your activities and gradually you won't be attached to the activities either. The material activities. Alright, more? Got a few minutes? Yes.
Why does Krishna have so many different names for the Supreme Ultimate?
Why does what?
You have mentioned so many different ways of describing him there.
Krishna.
Supreme Ultimate Being.
He has,
yeah,
so many
different ways of describing.
He has millions of names.
You're never going to learn them, so
no,
you're never going to be.
No, some people learn the Vishnu Sahasranam, but that's only 1,000 of Krishna's names. In one sense, everything is Krishna's name. Because the different names describe different aspects of Krishna and different pastimes of Krishna. Krishna includes all the names. Everything is in the name Krishna. That's why we chant Krishna. It's said that Parvati was asking Lord Shiva, they always were having spiritual discussions. You see, she's sitting on his lap, but it's not, she's asking him all kinds of things about Krishna and the Bhagavatam, and he's explaining. It's not a lusty thing. So she said that, you know, it's too much trouble to memorize 1,000 names of Vishnu. What can I do? So he said you can chant 3 times Ram, and that will have the same spiritual benefit as 1,000 names of Vishnu. And in another place it says that 1 Krishna is equal to 3 Ram. So that, you know, we like to chant Krishna. But then in Kali Yuga, this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, 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 Hare Hare. That combination is especially powerful. It's Krishna and Rama and Hare, but that, because that's what was given by Lord Chaitanya actually. Lord Brahma studied the Vedas 3 times and concluded, Iti Shodasakam Nam Nam, Kali Kama Shanapa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. That in this age of Kali, the best way to eliminate the bad qualities of Kali Yuga is these 16 words or 18. Iti, Soda Sukham Namna. So even the Muslim, they have 99 names of Allah. You know that? Yeah, I don't know any of them, but I know a few of them in English. And some very sincere Muslims, they're always chanting, they got their beads and they're chanting the names of Allah. And thinking that they have much greater spiritual knowledge than the only other religion they know that only has a few names. But they also say there's more names, but they're secret. Krishna. But the names are mean like the greatest creator of everything, the most merciful, the supreme intelligence. The same as the names we find in Sanskrit. You know, Krishna has so many names. Some are primary names like Govinda, Gopal, Krishna. And others are secondary, where they're just describing their own power. And others are just intimate descriptions of his relationships with different devotees. Yasoda Nandana. Right? The darling of Yasoda. Those kind of names. They describe a specific, you know, rasas. And Krishna is unlimited, so he has unlimited names. Even some ordinary people, most people have a few names. Right? Depending on, you know, at work or your wife or your children, they have different names. Your mother may have a different name for you that no one else uses, right? So Krishna has much more than us. Krishna, that is he. It means all attractive, and it includes all the other names. And there are many, many mantras, but the Maha Mantra is called Sarva Mantra Sar, that all other mantras are in one mantra. All right? That's enough. No more?
One last question. What do you put in your mind when you say the Maha Mantra? Because there's so many things you can think
of. The Maha Mantra. Try to hear it.
You try and hear it.
Yeah.
And
it's a prayer. You know, we're trying to pray, Krishna, please let me serve you. But the effort should be just to hear the mantra and fill the mind. And then the mantra is Krishna, and gradually he reveals himself and all his fame, form and qualities and everything else just in the name. But attentive chanting is what's required. We don't have to artificially think of something else. The name of Krishna is the topmost thing. Nothing beyond that. So now it's just a few minutes before greeting the deities. Krishna is finishing his dinner. And so we want to stand up and start chanting and then we greet Krishna for his artik. Alright? It's a great opportunity. Many people come here, they know the value of seeing the Lord, they come and go in a few minutes. They just run up the stairs, come in and go out. But they went out of their way just to give darshan. Special mercy of the Lord to come right here in the middle of London. And here we can, not only after we have a little more time, you can, you know, really sing and dance for the pleasure of the Lord. And the more we think about dancing and singing for the pleasure of the Lord, the more we'll feel the reciprocation and how this really is Krishna. You want Bhagavad Gita ki jai? Soho Bhakta Vrinda ki? Radha Landanishwara ki? Jai.
His Holiness Kavichandra Maharaj ki?
Jai.